Last Sunday, we read from the first chapter of the book of James, the first 12 verses. I'm going to continue from the book of James, chapter 1. This time is verses 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Well, despite the fact that Martin Luther, the reformer, had no use for the book of James, I find the book of James incredibly practical and helpful. And I think I came back to the book of James for this Sunday as a post-election scripture, if you will. I think I still have some sense of pastoral need to speak to you about this. How do we go forward on this? And I think the best thing we can do is the act of listening. The Hebrew prayer, the fundamental, simple, yet deeply profound Hebrew prayer, the Shema. Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Simply says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The biblical Hebrew understanding of hear is also wrapped up in the equivalency of obeying and of paying attention. Generally, it's translated, hear, O Israel. I kind of like the word listen, O Israel, or pay attention, O Israel. There's a strong biblical mandate to listen. We aren't taught that as a fundamental biblical teaching, but it's there. When you read the scripture, it's there. Abraham listens to the Lord, and in the hearing, in the listening, he moves out in faith to a place that God will reveal to him. He doesn't have a plan. He doesn't have any assurances other than that God would be with him. The prophet Elijah, the great activist prophet, burns himself out with his work. He retreats into a cave. And there he listens to the still, small voice of God. And he is renewed to further and finish what God has placed upon him to do. The prophet Samuel. You remember that great story, prophet Samuel? He's waking up in the middle of the night and he's hearing, thinks it's his mentor, Eli, calling to him. And Eli says, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. Happens three times, and finally Eli, must be the Lord, listen. And Samuel does. He listens, and he hears the word, and he obeys. The Hebrew midwives, remember that story? They were instructed to kill the young born Hebrew children, but they listened, and they found a way to thwart evil. Or Esther. Esther, too, was in a position of privilege and power, and she used that. She listened to the needs and to the Lord and what was required of her, and she used that position to save her people from genocide, essentially. Oh, I guess Jesus was a good listener, too, wasn't he? Let's not forget Jesus. Remember all those times Jesus had to go away into the wilderness to pray? That's an act of listening. In fact, I think that was the way Jesus knew how to be and what to do and who to listen to amongst the people, because he first listened to God on a regular basis. Prayer is an act of listening, isn't it, Linda? Is it not? You're a spiritual director? It is. It's an act of listening. We hear, pray for our nation. Pray for our nation. What does that mean? Pray for our nation. Maybe it means we need to begin with the act of listening. Listening. I heard that a lot post-election. We got, the predictions were, the pundits and the polls were all wrong. And they go back and say, we weren't listening, were we? It's a fact. We weren't listening. Some people weren't listening. We need not just to hear, but we need to listen. Last night, I went to the... Jan and I went to hear the concert Letters from the Front that Patty Gehring is a part of, the chorale, or I'm not sure what the title of the group is, but Repertory Singers. It was awesome. It was awesome. I was thinking about that. I was thinking how we listen to music. We don't hear music. I mean, you can hear music, but to really listen means you're hearing it on a deeper level. You're hearing it with your heart. It's moving something within your spirit, and that's what it's like to listen. And listening is not just biblical. It's not just prayerful. It's loving. It is probably the most loving thing you can do. It is the thing that will keep your marriage good. It's a thing that your children will be grateful to you forever for. Listening. We heard the toxic static of politicians, and we heard, even more disturbingly, the public amens. But did we listen? Can we listen? I believe listening takes us beyond words. There is heart listening. When we listen to someone, we hear the words, but what's underneath the words? Where's the heart that's being spoken to you? They may be angry words, they may be hateful words that you're having to listen to, but underneath that, there's got to be the humanity somewhere. The pain, the fear. Do we listen with our heart? The act of listening requires us to listen with our heart, and it requires us to listen with our bodies. Have you been with people and you're talking to them and all of a sudden they're looking at their phone? That doesn't work, does it? Doesn't work for me. Phil. We need to listen with our bodies to convey that that communication, that we are present to that person. We need to listen with the tone in which we speak. There is an art to listening, and it's not easy. And listening means not trying to fix it. That comes later. First, we listen. I heard that's what you were sharing, Rich, with and y'all that went. It was an act of listening first and foremost. Some of the best intended work in poor developing countries goes afoul because listening was overlooked, didn't happen well. I was told a story once in a church where this woman worked for a relief organization drilling boreholes or wells in Africa. And they go into the village and they interviewed or assessed all these different villages, which one would be the most worthy of their resources to build the borehole. They find the village, the most worthy village. They talk to a few people, of course, but they bore this hole, this well in the middle of the town, middle of the village, so the women didn't have to walk 2 miles to the river to go wash their clothes and gather their water every day. And so then they come back after this project is finished. They come back a year later, and they notice nobody's using it. They're still walking to the river, washing their clothes, and gathering the water. And they're wondering why. Why? You know, they gather the women because they were the ones mostly that do the work of gathering water and washing clothes. And they gathered the women of the village. They go, look, we built you this wonderful thing, and you're not using it. You're still going to the river to wash your clothes. What's up? They're all kind of quiet and silent. And one amongst them, the one that who would be, I suppose, the leader, said, well, she says, since you are asking, we will tell you, because you did not ask at first, but now we will tell you. She says, when you built that borehole, you didn't ask us, you just built it, and we still go to the river 2 miles away, because it gives us that opportunity to talk with our sisters going down every day to do that. And our children, they can play along the river. And most important, it gives us an opportunity to get away from our husbands every day. And if you had asked us, we would have told you, but you did not ask. I thought that's the perfect illustration. Now, I'm sure that most organizations are better at listening than that one particularly was, but it was a lesson for that organization. It's a lesson for us. We need to listen before we try to fix. How often do you just want to be heard? How often are you venting and all you want is to be heard? You don't want that person to give you advice or to tell you how to fix it. You just want to know, yeah, I hear you. That's bad. I'm sorry. That's the beginning of love. I remember when 9/11 happened, the infamous day of infamy in modern American history, where 3,000 people were just, you know, lost, and we were attacked, and it was a big psychic trauma for the country. And immediately the question was, why do they hate us? And immediately, almost within a week, the answer was given by those at the top who don't want us to ask and don't want us to listen. They said, oh, they hate us because they hate freedom. And bam, answer, problem solved, let's go get them. What would have happened if cooler heads would have prevailed and said, let us gather together all the Middle Eastern people for a conference and let's hear why. Why did this happen? What are the grievances that you have? Because there were grievances. And there is something that in this particular case, the CIA knew. It's called blowback. It's what happens when we do, when something happens, bad happens, it usually is related to things that happened before. In the case of 9/11, the Russians, if you recall, long ago invaded Afghanistan. We supported a group called the Mojahideen, which was the rebel force, if you will. That morphed into the Taliban, which morphed into also we were putting bases everywhere in the Middle East, in sovereign countries, supposedly. People did not feel respected, and so there wasn't any listening to the grievances in that case. We need to listen before we act. The same could be said of other social catastrophes, you know, the riots over the Ferguson thing, all these kind of things. See, this election, we need to listen. This is an opportunity to listen. Why did this particular candidate win, and what is behind that? If we can be patient enough with listening, we may learn something. And the one who was listened to will feel respected. Now, in the case of Marguerite's example, this terrible thing that somebody said to somebody, that's BS. That's nonsense. These are lies and false mythologies that somebody has bought into. But underneath that mythology of racism is deep hurt. And we got to get down to that level of hurt and fear and figure out. We don't listen to the lies, but we listen with the heart to the hurt underneath. Here's a little listening story. 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, I was just getting ready to go in for this heart surgery. This sort of kind of became a watershed event for me. I was 2 days before then. I'm running around doing errands. It's about 4:30 in the evening. It's getting dark, and I needed to deposit a check into the bank for a friend of mine who was out of town, and he'd asked me to do this. So I do this. I pull into the parking lot just behind somebody else who pulled in, and the parking area is kind of full, and he parks in. You know how people do? There's these two lines, but people don't know kind of how to center, and it wasn't like he had a big RV or anything. It was a smaller car. Well, he parks way over, almost literally on the right-hand line, and I pull in to his left. And I don't have a whole lot of room to open my door. I open my door, and I am irritated. I will admit, my heart was irritated by this. And my door hit his door. And he comes. He's still in the car, and I'm starting to walk to the bank. He gets out of his car. He goes, this young fellow, about maybe 23 or so. He goes, excuse me, you just hit my car door. And I'm already irritated, and I go, it didn't do any damage. And besides that, if you would have parked, blah, 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 you know, next thing you know, we've got this thing going on, this verbal, and I'm not proud of it, but we got a situation. And, but you know, my maturity and the Holy Spirit or whatever kicks in all of a sudden and goes, wait a second, this is stupid. And so I say to him, I say, look, you know, we're adults here. This is dumb. Why are we talking like this? And he goes, well, you should have thought of that before. And then continued on, and then go, I'm sorry, I hit your door. What do you need from me? It's always a good question to ask. What do you want? He goes, I want you to shut up and listen. I go, okay. So I listened to some more. He's still mad. Finally, I go, this is crazy. I said, do you want to hit me? That's not a good thing to ask somebody. Because he comes up to me, yeah, I want to hit you. I go, uh-oh. I said, look, I said, so I fall back on the law here. I go, look, that would be assault. I would press charges, so don't do that. So he continues to talk some more, rant a little longer, and finally I go, look, I got to get in the bank. I'm done with this conversation. So if it makes you feel any better, open your car door and smack into my car. And then I go into the bank. I do my thing. And he's coming in as I'm coming out of the bank, because it didn't take me very long. And he says, I moved my car. So, because I just looked at him like, wasn't that silly? But anyway, I got sucked into not listening to him until something else kicked in, and then I say, wait a second, what do you want? And he said, I want you to listen. So I did. I'm not sure it made a great difference, but it could have, that kind of altercation could have gone a whole lot in a different direction. So it's always a good idea to listen, even if you don't like what the person's saying. So I think redemptive healing begins with listening. And it's important that we listen to folks at the bottom, the marginalized, the scapegoated. Can we listen to some folks who don't necessarily, for instance, identify as heterosexual? Can we listen to their story without judgment? Can we listen to women's reality in the sense of which they have been dismissed in many situations or harassed? Can we listen to frustrated minorities or frightened minorities and immigrants? To the frightened middle class working people who have maybe even embraced attitudes that we would see as hateful or ideologies. Can we listen to them? Not to the nonsense, but to the pain underneath and the fear. Can we listen to someone standing by the side of the road holding up a sign? We need to learn how to listen with our bodies, to listen with our tone, to listen with our heart. At church, we need to listen to each other. Around the Thanksgiving table in a few weeks, we need to listen to each other. Our deepest, most human needs, our vulnerabilities, our fear, our greatest hopes. We all hold these things in common. Jesus said, love your enemies. And who are our enemies? And how did they get to be so labeled? And are we really that different? These are the questions I ask. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And we are told in scriptures that our God is one, but we are made in the image of that one God. We hold that in common together, all of us. It says in James, to anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Well, what we look like, what we all look like, what we all reflect is that image of God. That is what makes us one. We are not that different in that respect. So when we fear the other, when we believe stories that separate us from each other, when we hate or demean or even refuse to really listen to another, to the wounded spirit, we not only forget that divine image, we forget the divine image within ourselves. Just as it says, we look in a mirror and we walk away as if we forgot what that image is. I ask this question. To those seeking power without principle and without love, I ask this. Who dares to suggest that I should hold you or anyone else in fear or contempt? And who dares to assign me the lies and the stories designed to heighten my fear and anger toward those whose real stories I don't even know? And who has dared to suggest that I should spit in the face of God by diminishing the worth and dignity of someone else? So let our hearts be renewed and encouraged by siding with those who are being threatened or diminished. Most of us have positions of comfort and power, and so it's easy to be blind. I am blind. But doesn't Jesus come to restore the sight of the blind? There is a prayer in the Mennonite hymnal, and it's, don't turn to this yet. I just want to read it to you. Number 759. And it reads this: God, I am worried about people, forgotten older people, children without mothers or fathers, prisoners of war, workers without jobs, people who have no home, who are hungry or cold, people who live with problems that wind up tight inside. Show me how I can help them. Give me the right words to tell them of your love for Jesus' sake. I love that poem, except I'm not sure we need the right words. We need, give me the ability to listen. Give me the ability to listen for Jesus' sake. There is, to end this time, I would like us to read together the prayer 733 in the hymnal. 733, if you want to turn to that. And let us read together. This is the prayer of St. Francis, and I think it's a fitting way to end this meditation this morning. Let us read together. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.